Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Back to Bassett. Oh, my goodness. Oh, boy.
Chris Bassett took one off the face last night. And they had to come out with a cart and take him out, take him off the field. So that was really, really scary. The prognosis, I mean, they did, Melvin did talk about it. Melvin did have a comment about how Chris Bassett was. Here he is.
So Bass is conscious. He was the entire time. We don't think the eye is a point. It felt like it was below it. He's got some cuts. They had to do some stitches. He's in a scan, and we'll know more about potential fractures or whatever tomorrow or later tonight. We don't know right now.
That's scary. That was my biggest fear when the boy was pitching, was a liner back, because you're so close. So close, and when you just don't have time to react like that. That is just scary, scary, scary for every parent. I can't even imagine what Chris Bassett's parents or wife or, you know, what they're going through watching that. That's the worst. That's the worst. So the A's ended up losing to the White Sox, which there's still 2.5 games. Dusty, you know, the A's are not playing great, and the Astros are not playing great. The A's have a much tougher schedule, but that doesn't mean anything because the Astros can play every easy team, and actually they're worse off when they're playing easy teams. But Dusty says you just can't worry about the A's right now.
I mean, they're not really, you know, really playing well either the last couple of days. You know, like I said before, you can't worry about, you know, who's on your heels, because somebody's always going to be on your heels. You know, you just got to look forward, try to make some adjustments and changes tomorrow. And you start worrying about, you know, who's behind you and who's on your heels. I mean, you know, then you're in trouble. You're losing sight of the finish line.
So the encouraging stuff was first Fromber. Fromber was very encouraging. We had Julia Morales on a little bit earlier, and yeah, she was excited too, seeing Fromber throw the way that he did. He looked like Fromber from 2020. Baez, who hadn't pitched in a week, looking good. His velocity was up. He threw an inning and a third and just 12 pitches. That's pretty damn good. 7 strikes, 12 pitches. That's really, really nice. So I know I'm overreaction guy, but listen, Pedro Baez was supposed to be your 8th or your 9th inning guy. This season,
he was a big get. It wasn't celebrated as a big get, but that was an important piece that James Click added, and it's been nothing this year. And he made his second appearance. And Julia Morales, who joined us earlier, talked about the fact that they're keeping a close eye on his velocity. And Dusty Baker talked about the fact that, you know, his velocity, Pedro Baez, he compared it basically to the first one, and he saw some favorable things.
Yeah, he was better tonight. You know, I mean, he's a lot better tonight. And his velocity was up a couple miles an hour, and hopefully he'll get better. He always has a good changeup. But the more velocity he attains, the better, you know, his secondary pitches, being his changeup and his slider, will be.
That's good stuff. That's really good news, because, you know what, that's a possibility for the back end. Right now, it's Graveman and Presley, and you know those two are money. We've seen Presley fall off at the end of the year, though, before. He's had a pretty heavy workload this year. Hopefully, that won't happen again. Graveman's been unbelievable, and, you know, you got to be able to count on that guy. That was just a huge acquisition. But if you add Baez, who, you know, Baez from the Dodgers, Baez, that was pretty damn good. If you add that to the mix, a guy who, quite frankly, has had a lot of rest this year, there's one thing he won't be, is tired at the end of the season. So, you know, maybe we don't know right now, But there's a chance that Baez might be your most reliable guy come October. There's a chance. Because he's had the least work.
Yeah, but he's had the least work.
That's right.
He's got to get
some... He's going to be strong. No, he's got 2 months to get
there. Well, you say he's going to be strong, but I mean...
He's going to be strong.
How do you say he's going to be strong when he can't even get his velocity up?
His velocity was up last night. I don't know if you heard Pawpaw. Pawpaw just told you that.
Look, as somebody who has suffered a shoulder injury, I think I can speak to this.
I don't think you should compare your shoulder injury to Pedro Baez.
As somebody who has gone through the rehab process like Baez... We both suffered similar injuries.
Nothing like yours.
I don't know
yours.
If this was a dislocation or if it was even a shoulder or an elbow.
No, it was just soreness.
Mine's been sore too sometimes. And one of the things that I can tell you for a fact from having a sore shoulder is that it you're not at your best a lot of times in October when the weather starts to change.
You're not comparing your inflammation to Pedro Baez, a superior athlete.
I am comparing
as opposed to you.
He's a reliever.
Oh, my goodness. I just don't feel like this is a...
Who do you think would be the best pitcher in October? By October, the best relief pitcher will be... Kendall Graveman.
I'm going to say Graveman. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell you about... I'm going to tell you about Pedro Baez, who has had a lot of time off.
Yeah, but time off doesn't always equal like good things.
No.
How come it's rusty?
Could, as opposed to being tired.
Everyone, it's time off when you want it to be good. It's like, he's well-rested.
Well,
he's
wish Will Harris was more well-rested.
And then at the
he
end
was
of the year,
tired.
At the end of the year, when you get a week off, it's like, it's rusty now. Now they're rusty. They had a whole week off. They're rusty. Guy has 4 months off. It's power strong like bull.
That's
he's
right.
strong like bull. This guy's like a human. He's like a human bull running out there. He's so strong. He's so rested. And then all of a sudden, Steph Curry takes a week off because, like, I don't know.
Can't shoot anymore.
I just think he's going to be really rusty now.
Well, I mean, how many times have we seen guys taking a week off before the World Series and they can't hit anymore?
Well, they need to get rested so they can be strong.
Well, strong.
So then if they rested for a month, would they be strong or would they be rusty?
Well, there's a fine line, Lance. It's called a fine line.
He's going to be rusty, and here's the problem with your argument, is the guy right now is pitching once every week.
Well,
he's the 10th and the 17th. They're going to have to get him some...
Resting.
They're going to have to get him some time to get him ready, but I do agree with you that he could become a much bigger factor, obviously, than he is now. I mean, look, would you rather have Baez or Taylor? I'd rather have Baez than Blake Taylor. Baez or Rayleigh.
Well, let's see how, you know, over the next few weeks, how much they use him, how good he looks. If his arm starts to strengthen up and his velocity is up, Pedro Baez is going to be an important part of that bullpen. And he should have been this entire season, if not for being injured and COVID. So that Pedro, I'm hoping that Pedro Baez is a huge part of that bullpen. Because if it's Baez, Presley, and Graveman, those are three guys you know you can count on. Those are three guys with experience that have been there, done it, and are looking really good. As long as, you know, that's what happens for Baez. He looked good last night. Hopefully that continues.
Here's a question we brought up on the SportsMap video that we'll leave for the other side. What do you do with Christian Javier? And John and I brought it up on SportsMap videos because right now, the Astros may be misusing Christian Javier. And we'll explain coming up here on the other side. We'll also get into the fact that there is a press conference going on in less than an hour, and it involves Deshaun Watson. So we don't necessarily have any movement, but we do have some news, and it might not be great for Deshaun. Imagine that.
No.
Imagine that. News might not be great for Deshaun
Well,
Watson.
If it's believable, and his attorney doesn't think so. We'll talk about that and more. And still ahead, is there a local coach on the hot seat? That and more right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about champion, being a champion energy person. I'm a champion energy person, but have been for a dozen years. I love it. You will love it too. If you're looking for the best way to get that electricity at a better price with the best service in the history of the world, it's not me. J.D. Power & Associates says it. Not me. That's J.D. Power & Associates, who they actually care about these things, and they take polls. And the champion energy always comes up champions. So if you're looking for great service and a great price, champion.energy/1560. champion.energy/1560.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. The Dean of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Deshaun's here. Again, every day he's here, he comes in, he works. You know, he does what we ask him to do. And, you know, he's here every day and he's doing fine.
Oh, is he injured? Or?
No, he's not injured. You know, he's just, like you said, we come up each day and we have a thing for him. And basically, we got done what we needed to done yesterday in practice.
Jason, is there a specific reason why he didn't practice yesterday?
No, he got his work done yesterday. He just didn't get his work done when we were out here. We had a little different schedule yesterday than we had been, but he got his work in, and he's doing fine.
He's still attending meetings, right?
Yes, he's doing everything just like he has from day one.
So weird. So, so weird. I've never seen anything. I mean, I'm the dean apparently of Houston sports.
You are?
No, I'm not. Charlie has been here longer. I might be more like the godfather.
Yeah, I always thought you were the godfather.
Godfather, yeah, not the dean. I don't. Because I'm Italian. I don't. The dean.
Speaking
what,
of
Dean Warmer.
We missed Robert De Niro's birthday yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
We talked about it.
He's got a little hair thing going like I do right now.
Yeah. He's
got a little longer and it's flipping up a little bit.
What's your favorite? Just real quick before we get to Deshaun Watson, I'm just going to ADD you for a second. What's your favorite De Niro scene? Like mine, I still love Pacino, De Niro, and Heat when he's Neil McCulley. Still one of my all-time favorites. But I was going through a list of his favorite quotes and, you know, movie scenes. You know, he was ripped in Fear. You remember Cape Fear?
Yeah.
Remember how ripped De Niro got for that? What's your favorite role of Robert De Niro?
Well, the one that comes to mind is Analyze This, when he's on top and she's talking and he goes, "Shut up, I'm trying to do this thing here." You know, that's, to me, is great acting.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do this here.
And you know what? Honestly, the Fokker thing is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like that role, I know it's comedy, and now he's just cashing checks. He's
that's
like,
all.
What do you want me to do? I'll play a caricature of myself for a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But you forget that's the guy that used to do. Remember when he did Awakenings? I forgot about that movie where he comes out of, he was catatonic. He comes out of it, after, I don't know, medicine or whatever. Remember where he catches the tennis ball and he starts living his life, and then he goes back to being catatonic again. He starts to slowly drift back in. How many Oscars has he won?
What about Raging Bull?
Oh, yeah, obviously. How many Oscars has he won?
Untouchables.
What's that?
Untouchables.
Yeah.
Al Capone.
Oh, well, he used to, but that's what he used to do. Well, he was Louis Cipher in Angel Heart, which was pretty good. That's when we saw Lisa Bonet and a regular-looking Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, when he was regular.
But he did that. He did Raging Bull, where he gained a bunch of weight and then lost it. Like, he was really into that stuff.
He won the Oscar for Best Actor for Raging Bull, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many
Oscars do you think? I'm going to give you some numbers here in a second, but just really quickly.
I just can't. Two?
He's only won two Oscars.
Is it two?
Isn't that crazy?
Nominated seven times.
Yeah.
Nominated seven times.
It's not easy to win an Oscar, no?
No. He's nominated for Best Actor only five times in his career. The last one was Cape Fear. He was not nominated.
No, he won it for Raging Bull, and what else?
He won it for Raging Bull and also Godfather Part Two.
Oh, okay.
Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
He actually has been nominated less than you would think. The last time he was nominated was The Irishman. Well, that was Best Picture. Best Supporting Actor, Silver Linings Playbook. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Pretty good. Gambling stuff with him. Yeah. But then you got Cape Fear, he was nominated. Awakenings, Raging Bull, he won. The Deer Hunter and Taxi Driver.
Deer Hunter.
He's only been nominated...
except Christopher Walken was great in The Deer Hunter, too.
Deer Hunter had a lot of... was not nominated for Goodfellas.
Well, that's weird. Jimmy Conway?
Not nominated for Heat.
Oh, that's weird. You never know. Was Pesci?
Only one twice.
Or was Leota?
I don't know.
Leota probably got the nomination.
I thought that was a little low for lower than I expected from Robert De Niro. No. Back to Deshaun Watson. There is going to be a press conference today, and it is Rusty Harden's press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's got to refute some things that Tony Busby had yesterday.
Yeah. He said, Rusty Harden, he said that, you know, he thinks that it's just, once again, he doesn't think the FBI is investigating.
Well, tell people what Tony Busby said.
Tony Busby said he's been talked to by the FBI three times already. And Rusty Harden said, I do not believe that he has been talked to and there is an investigation. It's the latest. Mr. Harden will address Mr. Busby's latest antics regarding the FBI and his continued attempts to ruin Deshaun Watson in order to force a settlement of his civil cases and promote himself. In about 40 minutes, Rusty Harden will take center stage and refute what Tony Busby said yesterday. So we'll see. I don't know if you can just say, well, I don't believe you. Would Tony Busby lie about talking to the FBI three times? I don't know.
Rusty Harden would tell you yes.
Yes, I guess.
I just feel like, I ask you this, if I were giving you $10,000 to bet on it, my bet would go, no, he's not lying. I just don't think he would throw out, FBI wouldn't tweet and say, news to us. Like, FBI's not going to tweet this.
No.
Maybe the FBI wouldn't counter him. But I do think the FBI might have something to say if he lied. If Tony Busby intentionally lied to try to use the FBI as leverage in a case for court of public opinion or something, I feel like the FBI would contact Tony Busby and say, no, you need to retract that. We're not involved in this at all. My guess is they have contacted him. And he says it's because of intrastate travel and, you know, bringing someone from Atlanta in and yada yada. It's just another it's more kindling on the fire, I guess. It's not like it changes anything for Deshaun Watson.
All this posturing and all this the war of words and the lawyers back and forth and all of this stuff, it accomplishes very little. I talked to a civil lawyer about it, and he said, yeah, court of public opinion is important. Well, why? Because there's 12 people or a judge that are going to decide from the merits of the case, not because of what Tony Busby says to the media. I guess it would be important if you're trying to taint the jury pool, but there's too many people in this city, and too many people don't care what Tony – or didn't hear what Tony Busby said. And don't care, and it's not going to come out in the trial about an FBI investigation. So I don't know. Well, maybe it will.
Even if the FBI is looking into it, are they going to do
something?
That's
going to be about the trial. It's not about public opinion.
It doesn't matter if they're looking into it. Are they going to do something about it?
Well,
because if they're looking into it, that's bad news for Rusty Harden, because they might do something, and that becomes criminal.
Yes. Well, if it's a grand jury, then it's a federal case. If it's a federal case, then the FBI might be involved. It's not illogical what Tony Busby said yesterday. If Deshaun Watson transported that woman and paid for her plane ticket, paid for her hotel, paid for her Uber, and then assaulted her, then it's a federal problem.
I watch Cocaine Cowboys, so I feel like I'm up on some of the legal stuff now.
Uh-huh. I watch Law and Order, so I know.
Yeah. I watch Cocaine Cowboys, too. Recommend it. Good show. This has nothing to do with cocaine, let me just say that. But after watching some of the stuff about legal filings and all that, I feel like I maybe have some standing to speak on this because it's fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
This could be a problem for Deshaun with some of this stuff. Based on some of the filings and the federal stuff you talked about.
Thank you.
And the different types of grand juries.
You think there might be a problem here for Deshaun?
I mean, you got grand juries, you got federal stuff.
This is your professional opinion on this?
Just look at some of the... I mean, from a legal standpoint, just think about this. Grand jury. Juries at all. Federal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Discovery. I mean, this is all adding up. Look, I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. This is your...
Injunctions. There's a lot of different things that could be put on him here.
Yeah. Yeah, the FBI is investigating.
Dell just texted, very perceptive of you.
Yeah, the FBI is investigating. The Fort Bend investigators. That's the FBI Tony's talking about. No, it's not the Fort Bend.
It's not
Bend.
Fort Bend investigators.
It's the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
It's way different.
You don't know. You're not. You didn't watch Law and Order, Art. You don't know.
I know we're doing a lot of sports stuff, but I don't know if I can pass up on this. There's a story. You've already shut me down from reading a text that involved Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mr. Positivity sent us something. Have you seen this?
I have not.
It's about Oklahoma State.
I have not seen it.
It's about the showers of Oklahoma State.
Ooh, ouch. I don't like ever to hear about the showers at Penn State.
We've done a lot of
the showers
stuff.
at Oklahoma State. We've done
a lot of
Texas Rangers showering. I don't like any of the showers.
I don't think you're going to like this one.
I'm pretty sure I'm not going to like
it. I'm grappling with whether or not I should read this
one.
I think our listeners would want to hear it.
Delicately?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd rather just read it. I can read the exact wording at Oklahoma State's campus, that their campus.
Well, if they put it out
University Housing and Residential Life put out a piece of paper or a poster about an issue.
Oh, this is, I know this one. I think this is old. This is not a new story. I think this happened a while ago.
It did?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, it says copyright 2021. How old is it?
I've seen this.
Before I get into it, is it a fake? Am I being duped?
I don't know if you're being duped, but this is not the first time that this has come up.
Apparently, has it ever come up on the show?
Apparently, they get busy in those showers. So it's been going on for a while.
Should we bring it up?
Yes, we will on the other side. Right. But first, a little jab at Oklahoma State.
Site jab. Build your site out. Do it today with site jab. If you have a website that doesn't convey properly, in your opinion, the best that you can, and really maybe you shouldn't be the one whose opinion it is because you got your brother or brother-in-law to build this website. You need professionals like SiteJab, 23 years in the business. They don't just build websites from scratch. They also add e-commerce. They can film your commercials. They can do video integration into your site. They can add branding throughout the site. Of course, their web design and their you know, the flow of the site's going to be good. They're going to do everything they can to keep people on your site as long as possible and convert those eyes into business leads. That's what having a website's all about for a small to medium-sized business, is getting people engaged in your site, being interactive, and allowing them to convert into potential leads and business and money. That's what we're talking about. Go to sitejab.com for more information. 23 years in the business, sitejab.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. So that story that you were going to, you were
apparently
referencing.
It's
been done before.
Yeah, it was about blockages and shower drains and whatnot. And apparently it's been done for years and years at different colleges.
Self-pleasurement in the showers. Boy. Well, that's but that's an old story. Yeah, that's happened. And I think that it's just a joke. Anyway.
How about
So you were duped.
Did you ever
I read it on the air last time it came out, so.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Did you ever? Yeah. Well, I don't know if I should comment on shower time for high school.
Hey, if you signed up for our ESPN 97.5 listener email yet, you can get the latest information on what's happening with your favorite radio station, including upcoming events, giveaways, and a chance to be highlighted as our listener of the week. Head to ESPN975.com to subscribe now. Is Dana on the hot seat?
Holgorsen?
Yeah.
I would think so, yeah.
I would think so, too.
Talking to people who are not the heavy hitters at U of H, but they're boosters, and they spend a little money there. They seem to be... They want results this year. I don't blame. It's a lot of money for U of H to pay a head coach.
So So he walked into a situation with the De'Aaron King thing. I was thinking about this the other day, and Dana's my boy, so I mean, but the truth of the matter is, if De'Aaron King was in a really, really bad place 4 games into his what would have been his senior year here, if he played one more game, his eligibility would have been done. One more game. And now he's making buku bucks being the quarterback at Miami. Mm-hmm. He needs to really thank Dana Holgorsen for recognizing and actually caring about the player as opposed to and Dana caught a boatload of crap for redshirting him, for saying, you know what, we're shutting you down. You're just in a terrible place, and we want you to be in a better place, and we think you'll be better next year when all of this stuff is off of your back. There was a lot of stuff going on in De'Aaron King's life that he couldn't, and the kid broke down, and he broke down in Dana's office, and Dana said, we're going to shut you down, and we want you to come back next year. Now he decided to go to Miami. He went and played last year. He got another year of eligibility because of COVID. And look at him now. Look at the money that he's making. So De'Aaron King.
Well, the money is through NIL.
Yeah.
Miami's a more
potent market than Houston. And what Miami paid him to go there. But that's another story.
Excuse me?
So anyway.
But the question becomes, would he have fought harder if he thought De'Aaron was substantially better than Clayton Tune? The question for Dana becomes, let's be honest. A big excitement was all these 5 stars and all these transfers that were coming in from other programs. We thought they were going to have a significant impact. Here's a kid from Alabama. Here's 2 offensive linemen from UCLA. There's a bunch of guys coming in that were supposed to make a big be big factors in year two. Kind of threw away year one. Whatever. But year two, there's a bunch of transfers coming that are going to make a big difference. And that didn't materialize last year.
They did lose the first 5 games of the season.
COVID.
They practiced. They practiced. They had their camp, and then they had 5 weeks off.
Yeah, no, that's
true. It was difficult. Let's face it. I think that was the frustration for that football team.
Dana had guys
that literally were crying because they weren't able to play that football game against Baylor, and they weren't able to play.
That's a good point. They had games they were ready to play.
They were ready to go.
And then the Alabama kid ended up being, turd, so that didn't work out.
Well, he was.
He's gone. He's not anywhere now, is he?
But listen, when he was hired, 8 wins, the doc says, 8 wins get you fired around here. So that's why Majors was no longer here and why they brought in Dana Holgorsen. Well, Dana Holgorsen hasn't won 8 games yet.
And he's a lot more expensive.
Yeah. So, he's got to win. Now, he's got a much more favorable schedule. Mm-hmm. He's got Texas Tech to start the season, and then it's pretty much coast. He doesn't play Cincinnati or UCF this year. In the American. So,
wow.
Yeah. So
that is much more
favorable. He's got a chance to get to the championship.
This is the year I'd be betting on him.
Yes.
I think by year three, Dana Holgorsen's got guys who know his system.
Well, here's the deal. Clayton Tune's got to play better.
I'd say somebody needs to beat him out.
Well,
I don't know if he is capable of playing better.
I don't either. Dana.
I hope there's some competition.
Dana has overestimated that kid so far. He really has. He has not been the guy. Well, I'm not going to put words in Dana's mouth. He isn't the guy that Dana told me he was. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He has all the faith in the world. He had all the faith in the world in that kid. And I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen a reason for that yet. So we'll see whether or not he takes a big step this year. But Clayton Tune has to take a really, really big step if the University of Houston is going to be good again. So is Dana on the hot seat? I would imagine. He had a 3-year guaranteed contract, pretty much 3 years, with the buyouts from both sides. It was there was no way that Dana was going to be let go before after this third year. But time to win. It really is time to win, and he knows it. I mean, he absolutely, these coaches. He's been in a bad place. He wants to win so bad. He has not experienced this as a head coach. He did a lot of winning at West Virginia. He beat Texas a lot. He has done a nice job as a head coach, and this has been really trying for him. I can tell you all that. So
yeah,
we'll
but
see.
I think that he is on the hot seat because Tillman's going to want to win, and let's face it, Renee Couture, Dr. Couture can say whatever she wants, but well, still the Houston Rockets owner is going to want Dana to win.
The University of Houston owner.
Yeah, the owner of the Cougars.
Yeah.
Is going to want to see something for that money they're shelling out, because they're shelling out money to be with the big boys, and then you got, you know, it probably doesn't do them any favors that University of Houston's going to the Final Four under Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah. But it took a little while, too. It took a little while for that.
Yeah. Well, he's been in a tournament the last 3 years.
No, but he's been around for a while now. He didn't win right away, so it took him a little while, right, to build up the program to where it is. And you know what, though? With all of this unrest, however, in college football, man, you got to win. You got to bring some prominence to that program. You got to bring a spotlight to this
program.
Maybe
now more than ever.
Now more than ever. So Dana's got, there's a lot of pressure on him right now. He's got to win. There's no question about that. Some of the other guys, Jim Harbaugh on the hot seat?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
Where Dana's on that list of an
article. They got Mike Leach on this list.
SEC. It was only year two. Yeah, but you never know. You can get sideways. His personality could get sideways down there. I could see where he could rub some people. I mean, he's in Mississippi.
Yeah, but
I could see he was like, I'm tired of listening to him.
What dude runs off
the mouth about Pirates and not getting enough run and get the running game going. Like, I could see somebody from Mississippi getting real fed up with, what's all this nonsense? He keeps all this scuttlebutt about Pirates, and he keeps saying crazy stuff in the press conference about
Native Americans,
dog foods, and Native Americans, and all this and that. Just get me a pass rusher.
That's true. That is true. There's no question about
that. But
Leach wins wherever he goes.
Yeah, but did you ever think Leach was an SEC type coach?
No. He's too.
Maybe at Arkansas.
He's different. There's no question about that. And then Clay Helton is on this list. Of course he is. He's on this list. Justin Fuente, Scott Frost.
Justin Fuente.
Dana Dimel, who has had
a Dana couple. Dimel, where's he?
He had 2-1-11 seasons. Where's he? UTEP.
UTEP? Yeah. Why are we talking about UTEP?
Well, he's
coach
on
being
hot
on
seat.
The hot seat.
Hot seat. Hot seat. All right. So when we come back, News of the Weird coming your way right here on ESPN 97.5 and 90. We got some couple of good stories here. From some weird stories for you. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about my peeps over at CCA. All right, look, if you're looking for a great way to have some fun, CCA is getting that job done for you. CCA.org, CCATexas.org. If you're looking for fun, we got the CCA Texas is having a golf tournament. Only a few spots left. It's September 13th at Wildcat Golf Club. The tournament is packed with prizes, raffle, silent auction, lots of fun. Plus, your entry includes lunch, dinner, and drinks presented by Kyrish Truck Centers. All proceeds benefit CCA Texas. Don't wait. Call now, 713-626-4222. I'm going to be playing in it. You want to come and have a good time? We're going to have a good time. 713-626-4222. They do a lot to conserve, promote, enhance Texas coastal resources. Each year, CCA Texas funds 17 parks, wildlife, department, coastal fisheries, summer internships, sponsors 7 graduate level scholarships. If you want to help and you're a fisherman in this state, CCATexas.org or 713-626-4222.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun sports. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 9:46, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is our final segment. Charlie's going to join us right afterwards. We made a decision. Are we going to take Rusty Harden?
If we access it as the intention is to access it, yes. And shouldn't that be quite the several-minute show? Celebrity lawyers volleying back and forth. The FBI is involved. Or is Rusty going to say, no, it really isn't involved?
Well, he's speaking for the FBI now. Or he's just saying, you're flat-out lying, Tony Busby. But he, well, he's said that before. That's nothing. That's nothing new for Rusty to say that. And then, of course, you're going to talk about Astros baseball, which is inexplicable right now.
Dog days of summer are one thing, but last two nights, man, a little bit of, hey, pull your heads out, right? It was the base running stuff on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The Yuli play, natural reaction, I guess, to break for a ball, though he's too far off the bag to think he's going to make the play. And then Fromber sets up the game-winning rally, if you want to call it a rally, by just brain farting and not covering. So you're going to have these little peaks and valleys. At least Oakland's in the stretch of a brutal schedule. White Sox whacking them again last night. But, you know, and I totally think the Astros are going to make the playoffs and quite likely win the division. But Los Yankees are on fire. The Astros right now are only three games ahead of missing the playoffs entirely. Right, they're 2.5 ahead of Oakland. They're only 3 ahead of the third wild card spot, for which you get nothing. So I just think it's ebb and flow, and right now it's very annoying ebb. It is confounding how mediocre they've been against the trash and so much better against the
I mean, right now, if you are just playing average against the lesser teams, you're the best team in the American League. You're setting up for a number one seed, basically, in the American League. And right now, I don't think the A's will catch you. But I am keeping an eye on what's going on in the AL East, because for the very reason you talked about, the Yankees, you knew they weren't going to play the level of baseball they played earlier this year. You knew that wasn't going to be the case. Now they get Gerrit Cole back, pretty good in his first game post-COVID. That is a team to watch right now. Red Sox going in the other direction, but the Yankees are a team that we knew were going to be factors, and here they are.
Yeah, their trades at the deadline to bolster that offense. Good news, Astros, I guess. In the playoffs, you don't get to play any sucky teams. But just make sure you get there.
Well, and Rizzo's been hurt, and Luke Voit says, it doesn't matter. I should be playing anyway. I need to play just as much as Rizzo does.
Aroldis Chapman is like in witness protection.
Yeah.
They're saving games now without him.
Well, he wasn't saving them anyway. Might as well get some saves because he was bad. All right, Charlie. We'll see. We'll give you updates here about whether or not we're going to take that press conference of Rusty Harden.
More impactful Harden in Houston, James or Rusty?
Oh, Rusty. Right now, you mean?
Yeah. Oh,
much more.
Career?
Rusty's been pretty impactful.
Okay, 2010 to 2020.
Who's better at their job, Rusty or James?
I mean, it's not Rusty's fault. Rusty hadn't had a lot to work with. I feel like my answer is Rusty.
But Rusty,
always, James, pretty
Rusty
good.
Rusty wins all the time. James
is pretty good. Oh, he wins regular season games at a pretty good clip, my friend.
Oh, they were pretty good. But when it comes down to the big one, Rusty wins the big one.
So Court would be the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, and no, everything the before, big
everything
trials,
before Court is the regular season,
the
right?
Big trial is the and Rusty wins those.
Would you ever hear about the ones he loses?
I don't think he loses ever.
I don't really keep track of them.
I don't know what his record is.
I just know when you're called on.
I think he says he's undefeated.
Like, yeah, no. Like a wrestling record. Undefeated from parts unknown. Like, do we have any background on this guy?
Yeah.
No. Well, Rusty, we do. All right, who's been at more Rocket games over the last 20 years, Rusty or James?
Rusty. No.
Over the last 20 years.
20 years. Yeah, Rusty's got to be. No, James has been more.
Yeah.
James played every night. Jim Rusty, he only gets half of them at the
Okay,
at
Rockets
best.
Home games, Rusty or James?
Over the last 20 years?
Yeah.
Rusty harder, goes a lot, yeah.
Rusty
yeah,
goes a lot yeah, of games.
Right, right,
let's, get hey, our, let's get our weird news.
In Yakima, and they found a car, an SUV, submerged in the Yakima River. When asked by the driver what happened, he said, well, I did it intentionally. My radiator needed water, so I thought I would dip it in the river and fill up my radiator. Do you think that guy should be performing brain surgeries?
Well, no.
No, because why? Because he's not a brain surgeon.
He's not, right?
No. 12 prize camels have been disqualified from a beauty contest in Saudi Arabia after their owners tried to tweak their good looks with Botox.
Yep, I knew it.
Apparently, yes. There's a beauty contest of camels in Saudi Arabia, and they were cheaters. Which is worse, Astros cheating scandal or Camel Botox cheating scandal?
Probably Astros, but only because they caught it in time before it led to a championship. Now, if one of those camels won the championship, the beauty pageant, then it'd be equal. It would be equal.
A California man has filed a lawsuit after he was injured trying to flee from a bear that surprised him in a Lake Tahoe dumpster. He's seeking $15,000 in damages from a condominium association for injuries he said suffered in the encounter. He says they have had a lot of problems with bears breaking into homes, cars, and garbage cans in search of food. And so now he wants money because a bear surprised him in a dumpster.
Mm. Dumpster diving can pay.
Yeah. No.
If he gets a W on that one, oh, man, that's going to open the door now.
A woman says this is day 353. She apparently has taken 189 pills a week for 353 days after COVID-19 diagnosis to combat her symptoms. Do you think...
What is she taking exactly?
189 pills a week should be taken to combat your COVID symptoms?
I feel like the answer is no.
I'm pretty sure that's over. You're overkilling.
Ma'am, the lining of your stomach has been completely eradicated. And what is she taking?
A bunch of stuff. Capsules, tablets,
vitamins,
everything.
Supplements,
every
minerals.
Week. Apparently, a dog muzzle was sent to the Tennessee vaccine official. A dog muzzle was sent to her, which got Tennessee police involved. And Tennessee police found that actually she used her own credit card to send herself the dog muzzle. And she was trying to create some kind of a scandal, but she used her own credit card to purchase the dog muzzle.
I mean, I know it's embarrassing. I'm telling you, we got to have something that we can do to these people. If you get caught doing something this stupid...
Yeah.
If you do something that stupid.
Hey, Jussie.
Yeah, like there's got to be something where.
Oh, no, well, Jussie got off.
Yeah, but she used her own credit card.
You're too stupid. You're too stupid to be running the vaccine deal. Tesla is under an investigation. Apparently, its cars keep hitting emergency vehicles. You know those Teslas that can drive themselves? Well, at least 11 accidents involving Tesla cars using autopilot or other self-driving features crashed into emergency vehicles when coming upon the scene. Do you think that if you have a Tesla that can drive itself, are you going to use that?
So I brought this up yesterday. Would you rather take a Tesla self-drive or we were talking about the vaccine, me and April were like, would people trust the vaccine more, people who are untrusting that, or a self-driving Tesla?
Self-driving Tesla.
You would trust that more than a
no,
vaccine?
No, some people. A lot of people would.
I know. And look how many crashes. 11 like, look at the percentages. That's what I was saying. The percentages, I'm like, whoa.
I ain't getting in a car.
Eric Layden told me he was in L.A., and he was watching a guy drive. He was driving next to him. He's like, oh, my God. The guy had a newspaper up. And he was reading the newspaper as his Tesla was driving down the road. He's like, I just can't get there. I couldn't get there. I just can't trust him.
No.
I'm sorry. It sounds great in theory. I just couldn't trust my car.
You would trust
a
self-driving car more than you would the vaccine. Just is. And yet, I believe that.
I believe there are people,
I believe that to be the case. Hey, coming up, we think we're going to have the Rusty Harden press conference. If not, we've got Charlie Polillo, who will fill you in on all things Houston Astros and beyond. So glad you could join us this morning. We will be back again tomorrow. Hopefully our Astros will win a baseball game. That would be awesome if they could do that against the juggernaut that is the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about that and more. And don't forget all the other shows right here. Stay with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, everybody. We just got
ESPN 97.5.